You know, when I started sifting through the latest higher education data, what really jumped out at me wasn't just the usual stats on enrollment or funding. It was this overwhelming sense of speed. Everything in teaching and learning is accelerating so fast, it's like we're in a race where the track keeps changing under our feet. I was looking at reports from institutions worldwide, and the central theme is this rapid, almost chaotic transformation. It's not just about adding new tech, it's about how quickly educators and students are having to adapt, and the tension between sticking with what's always worked and diving headfirst into innovation.
Oh, I feel that deeply. From my time in the classroom, especially back in Chile, we saw this push and pull constantly. On one hand, you have these timeless methods, discussions, essays, hands-on labs that have shaped minds for generations. But then tools like adaptive learning platforms or AI tutors come in, and suddenly it's a whole new ballgame. The challenge is, how do we ensure these changes actually help students learn better, not just make things flashier? I remember trying to integrate a new collaborative software, and half the faculty were excited, while the others worried we were losing the human touch that makes education meaningful.
As a computer science senior, I'm living this duality every day. In my AI ethics class, we're debating the very tools we're using to complete assignments. Like, just last week, we discussed that article on nursing students' views about AI translation software for writing assignments. It highlighted how some see it as a deficit, cheating, basically, while others view it as a way to translanguage, to bridge gaps in understanding. It's messy because, on one side, you've got students who might use it to avoid learning, but on the other, it could help non-native speakers express complex ideas they otherwise couldn't. In my own projects, I've used Math Canvas for visual reasoning in calculus, and it's amazing for breaking down problems. But it makes me wonder, are we relying too much on the tool and not enough on our own critical thinking?
Exactly, Aisha. That's the critical gap the data points to. The long-term pedagogical impact. We're adopting all these innovations, but are they actually deepening learning or just making it more efficient? I came across a study called Watermark in the Classroom, which talks about detecting AI usage in real time to keep academic integrity intact. It's fascinating because it's not just about catching cheaters. It's about understanding how AI can be woven into teaching without undermining the learning process. But then, institutions are racing to implement this stuff, often without solid evidence on how it affects students' retention or critical skills down the line.
And that's where the tension between innovation and tradition gets real. In many Latin American universities, there's a strong emphasis on traditional lectures and rote memorization, partly due to resource limits. But when I taught, I saw how collaborative learning, enhanced by tech, could unlock deeper engagement. There's another piece of research, I think it was on detecting confusion and conflict in group work, using linguistic and facial cues, that showed how these tools can help instructors step in early when students struggle. But if we're not careful, we risk turning classrooms into data collection hubs instead of communities. I've had colleagues worry that over-monitoring could stifle the organic debates that lead to breakthroughs.
Right? And from the student side, it's a mixed bag. In CS, we're often the guinea pigs for new tech. For instance, in one of my programming courses, the professor introduced an AI-driven assessment tool that adapts questions based on our performance. At first, it felt personalized and helpful, but then I noticed some peers getting frustrated because it didn't account for different learning styles. It ties into what Alex said about evidence-based adoption. We need to ask, is this actually helping us learn or just making the system more efficient? I've talked to friends in community colleges who don't have access to half this stuff, and it widens the gap between institutions. They're still relying on outdated textbooks while R1 universities are experimenting with immersive VR labs.
That regional disparity is a huge part of this derby. The data shows that innovation isn't evenly distributed. It's racing ahead in well-funded schools, leaving others behind. But even in those advanced settings, there's pushback. I was reviewing the AI Higher Education Innovation Assessments Overview, and it emphasized that without faculty buy-in, these changes fall flat. Many educators fear that AI could devalue their expertise, especially in subjects like humanities, where interpretation and nuance are key. How do we balance that with the potential benefits, like freeing up time for more one-on-one mentoring?
It's about redefining roles, I think. In my experience, when tech is used as a supplement, not a replacement, it can empower teachers. Take that study on detecting confusion during collaborative learning. If we have tools that alert us when a group is stuck, we can intervene more effectively rather than just grading the final output. But it requires training and trust. I've seen programs where faculty were thrown into using new platforms without support, and it led to burnout. The path forward has to involve piloting changes slowly, gathering real classroom data, and involving students in the conversation. Aisha, what's your take on that as someone who's both a learner and a tech-savvy student?
Honestly, I think students are often left out of these decisions. In my university, there's a committee for tech adoption, but it's mostly administrators and a few faculty. We need more student reps who can voice how these tools affect our daily learning. For example, with Math Canvas, it's great for visual learners like me, but I have friends who prefer textual explanations. If we're not careful, we might end up with a one-size-fits-all approach that doesn't serve everyone. And ethically, using AI for assignments like in that nursing study raises questions about authenticity. Are we preparing students for real-world problems if we lean too heavily on machines? In CS, we debate this all the time. It's why I push for courses that blend technical skills with critical reflection on their impact.
Which brings us to the unique angle of institutional transformation. It's not just about adding gadgets. It's about reshaping entire curricula and assessment methods. The data suggests that schools succeeding in this race are those that treat innovation as a collaborative process. For instance, the watermark framework for AI detection isn't just a policing tool. It's designed to be adaptive, helping educators understand patterns of usage and adjust teaching accordingly. But that requires a cultural shift, moving from top-down mandates to grassroots experimentation. Maya, you've seen this in different educational contexts. How can institutions foster that without overwhelming their staff?
It starts with acknowledging the human element. In Chile, I worked with a university that set up innovation hubs where faculty and students could test new tools together with no pressure to adopt them permanently. They used findings from studies like the one on collaborative learning cues to refine their approaches. For example, they integrated simple apps that tracked group dynamics, but only after training teachers on how to interpret the data without invading privacy. The key was starting small, maybe in one department, and scaling based on evidence. But it's tough with budget constraints. Many community colleges can't afford that luxury. They're racing just to keep basic resources available, which highlights how this derby isn't fair. Innovation can't be a luxury. It has to be accessible, or we risk deepening inequalities.
That's so true. In my internships, I've seen how R1 universities have dedicated teams for edtech, while smaller schools rely on individual professors' passion. It creates a patchwork where some students get cutting-edge experiences and others don't, and it affects learning outcomes. If you're in a program without adaptive tools, you might miss out on personalized feedback that could help you grasp tough concepts. But on the flip side, over-reliance on tech can dilute the mentor-student relationship. I had a professor who used AI for grading essays, and while it saved time, it often missed nuanced arguments. We ended up having to advocate for human review, which sparked a broader discussion about balancing efficiency with depth.
Which ties into the long-term pedagogical impact we're all worried about. The data isn't just about immediate gains. It's about how these changes shape students' abilities years down the line. For example, the Math Canvas approach to visual chain of thought in math reasoning. It's promising for building intuition, but if it replaces traditional problem solving, could it weaken foundational skills? We need longitudinal studies, but the pace of change means we're often implementing before we have those answers. That's why evidence-based adoption is crucial. It's about iterating based on what actually works in diverse classroom settings, not just what's trendy.
And that evidence has to include voices from the margins. In Latin America, where digital divides are stark, I've seen programs fail because they assumed what worked in the US would translate directly. We need culturally responsive innovations that respect local teaching traditions. For instance, using AI to support language diversity in assignments, like the translanguaging perspective in that nursing study, could be transformative if done thoughtfully. But it requires co-design with educators and students, not just importing solutions. The emotional journey here is about moving from anxiety to resolution, realizing that we don't have to choose between innovation and tradition. We can blend them to create richer learning environments.
I love that idea of blending. In my capstone project, we're developing a tool that uses AI to suggest resources based on learning styles, but it includes options for peer collaboration and instructor input. It's inspired by articles like the one on detecting confusion. We're trying to build in cues that flag when a student might need help without making it feel invasive. But the biggest lesson is that tech should serve pedagogy, not the other way around. As students, we want to feel challenged and supported, not just processed through a system. If institutions can focus on that, the transformation might actually lead to better outcomes for everyone.
So pulling this together, the path forward seems to be about slow, deliberate integration. Institutions should pilot new tools in controlled environments, gather feedback from all stakeholders, and use frameworks like the Watermark one to ensure ethical use. The data shows that when schools involve faculty in development, like through workshops or joint research, adoption is smoother. And students like Aisha need seats at the table to share how these changes affect their learning journeys. It's not a race to be the most high-tech. It's a marathon towards sustainable, equitable education.
Absolutely. And let's not forget the victories along the way. I've seen classrooms where tech helped shy students participate more in discussions, or where adaptive learning identified gaps in understanding early. The resolution comes from recognizing that innovation, when grounded in evidence and empathy, can enhance the best of traditional education. It's about racing together, not against each other.
Well said. For me, the takeaway is that we're all learners in this. Educators, students, institutions. If we keep the focus on what truly matters, like critical thinking and connection, the tools will follow suit. Now, if only we could get my university to implement some of this before I graduate.
Laughs, let's hope they're listening. Thanks, both of you, for digging into this with me. It's clear that the future of higher education isn't about picking sides in this derby. It's about finding the harmony in the hustle.